You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Wednesday, April 7th, and boy, do we got a lot to talk about. We've got Steven Nelson drama. He has fired back on the reports that he left because he didn't want to compete with Cameron Sutton. Dean and I are going to break that down because, you know, our guy Dean comes on the Wednesday's show, version of the show, and we're going to talk about all the things that were said. Steven Nelson actually went back to Dale Lally and said what his side of the story was, so we're going to recap that. Then, it's time to introduce the Topic Bag, a new segment where you, the listeners, get your questions on the show. And then finally, we'll talk about what Najee Harris said about the Steelers' draft process and Mike Tomlin on the Adam Schefter podcast. As always, you can subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and of course, the new Odyssey app, which used to be radio.com. Let's get into it. So we had a whole show ready for you today, and then a bomb got dropped, or just rather not a bomb, but just new news. Yeah, it was, so full transparency, Dean Iampietro is our guest today, of course, and he originally, we recorded this show to kind of bite back at some things that Josh said that Dean didn't like and give him the chance to rebut some things Josh didn't like. And then he gave a really strong take about why Steven Nelson was this and that, and he was wrong for backing away from, from Cameron Sutton and stuff like that. Well, there were some interesting developments that made us have to go and redo this show. So quick catching up here on with Dean. First, what happens is that Steven Nelson goes on Sirius XM radio and says that he was never offered a chance to have a pay cut from the Steelers, and that essentially he's kind of basically told that, hey, you're not the top option at cornerback, and they were looking to trade him or cut him, and it didn't work out. And then he asked to not be held hostage, and then he was let go. So that happened. Well, then Steven Nelson, of course, like I said, on Monday, last Friday, Dale Lally reported from his own sources that the Steelers it's not that they didn't offer him a pay cut, but they told Nelson that he had to deal with Cameron Sutton battling for his job as the starting outside cornerback. And so Dale Lally reported that, and he said that that's why Steven Nelson left, because he didn't want to have to do that. Well, Nelson didn't like that. He tweeted at Dale saying, why are you starting rumors? And then soon after that, he started DMing Dale. And the two did some things, and Dale wrote it up as a story on DKPittsburghSports.com. But basically, Dean, what Steven Nelson is saying from his side of this is that he felt he was due an extension because he had played very well, and that the Steelers weren't offering one and never gave him the option to even do that. He said he'd played past his current contract, and that he felt that maybe he felt the Steelers felt like that he was expendable despite him playing in his prime, and that it came down to him being traded or released. And then he said he wants to make it very clear, and this is a quote, that there was never a discussion with me about being able to take a pay cut. I was never even given the opportunity to take a pay cut. And then he furthered this up, and this is where I find it very interesting, Dean. He says, why would the highest paid corner ride the bench? Believe me, that's not what I was told. So get your facts straight. And this is what he's saying to Dale. Get your facts straight. I've never ran from any competition, and there's no knock on Cam Sutton, but I'm the best and was the best corner on the team. And that is simply called a cap casualty situation. Flaming hot fire, Dean.
It's in fuego. First of all, Josh, you're not off the hook. Okay. Because given what you knew or what you thought you knew, you had your take that Steven Nelson was in the right. Had that take held true, believe me, I was coming guns a-blazing. It's a shame you guys aren't get to hear it, because I was on fire, because I think it's ludicrous for anybody, let's say, for them to come to you and say, oh, you've got competition now, and for them to say, well, I don't want to be a part of that. Let me get traded or cut me or whatever. So I was off on that, and I was Chris will tell you, I was a little bit animated about that take. So you ain't off the hook, Josh. You ain't off the hook. I mean, if Dale is getting DMs from Steven Nelson, I might have got a visit to my house for the things I was saying.
So again, full transparency, as Dean was saying the things he was saying, I was like, Dean, Steven Nelson could come find you. And he was like, that I wouldn't let that happen because I know he'd roll me down a hill. But
right. So fortunately, we've now averted this entire situation.
I was trying to save your life, man, but I was like, hey, this is going to make good podcasting. But bottom line here, Dean.
Yeah, this is actually somewhat perplexing now a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now I understand the Steelers kind of know when to let someone go. And maybe they were looking and saying, you know, we don't want to be on the hook for Steven Nelson money. 2-3 years down the line, maybe Steven Nelson's got 1 year left. Maybe that's what they were thinking. Because maybe they saw shades of it in the Buffalo game, okay, where he wasn't that good when Joe Hayden was out. So, you know, maybe they are looking to Sutton to be the guy. And then, you know, to say I wasn't even given a chance to take a pay cut, really, would you have taken a pay cut? Come on.
It doesn't sound like he would have because he feels like he was the best corner on the
team. And that's good, by the way. I'm glad he had that attitude. He should have that attitude. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's part of what my little rant was about, is he should have that attitude.
Right.
And I'm glad to see that he did.
Right. Dean felt that if he was legitimately running away from competition, then that made him not to that question. Dean was calling out his man card for that. But according to Steven Nelson, that's not what happened.
So
now,
if that's not the case, then I will rescind that. Because if that's not the case, I'll take Steven Nelson at his word that he's not running from competition. Great. Right. Good. I'm glad to see that.
Now, here's the thing, though, that I still think that Dale's original story kind of holds up in part, is at least that the Steelers Nelson's saying he was never told that Cam Sutton was going to start outside. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that apparently that was a big reason why they were able to keep Cam Sutton was to tell him you were going to have a chance to compete at that outside spot. Now, maybe Steven Nelson didn't hear that. Maybe he did hear that and he doesn't want to come off that way. We don't know that for sure, but I will say this. All of this, it goes into why it is very difficult to predict things when we have very little information at the onset of something, and why you got to let things play out. Like when people saw this and immediately said, this is Juju's fault because he got the money.
Right,
it turns out that had absolutely nothing to do with this situation.
Absolutely nothing. You're right. And it never did.
It never did.
I mean, that was just people who have a narrative of disliking Juju, and they'll look for any stretch of the kernel of truth to try to fit their narrative. And so that was always ridiculous. So I paid no attention to that anyway. But nevertheless, I mean, I'm still wondering what the Steelers were doing here, because
my theory to answer your question, my theory is this, and we'll do this and we'll throw to a commercial break. The Steelers knew that Cam Sutton, being a younger player than Steven Nelson, was part of their future in the secondary. They wanted to keep him around. They felt like his potential, one, as an outside corner, and then being able to play in the slot if, you know, an emergency happened and he had to jump there. But they felt like he was going to be able to do that. And they also felt like it was a way to save some cap space to make some other things happen. Now, granted, they haven't made much else happen. But I really do think that they prefer to have Cam Sutton around for the next 4 or 5 years than Nelson around for the next 3 years. Because really, that's kind of the kind of deal that he probably would have been offered. I also argue that he was not the best cornerback on the team. At no point did I think that he ever jumped over Joe Hayden.
Yeah, Joe Hayden was definitely the best corner on the team.
Yeah, but at the same time, as a competitor, you gotta believe it. You're the best.
Absolutely.
So I have nothing against Steven Nelson. I've never had anything against
nothing again, at all.
I think the whole thing surprised me, that
narrative surprised me, because I did not expect that from Steven Nelson. So I'm glad to see that there seems to be more to the story.
Absolutely. We'll be talking about this more as the week plays out. But you know, about this is a very interesting development. If you want to read more details, Dale Lally wrote a story on DKPittsburghSports.com about what Steven Nelson told him in private. So do go read that for all the details. It's a good one. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to introduce a new segment called the Topic Bag. I've told you about it. We're getting our first question from one of our listeners in the Topic Bag right after this break. You need a snack that's going to both help you get through the rest of your day, but also be good for you. That's where Built Bar comes in. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including 6 of their newest ones, being caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. There's so much to enjoy. And also, don't forget, they help you lose and maintain weight. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone that's currently on a keto diet. Right now, Built Bar has a special promo code for you to get a great deal on their website. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKEDON15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Dean Iannapietro. So, Dean, now that we've gone through our, you know, you're talking about the Steven Nelson stuff, we want to open up our new segment called the Topic Bag. Now, for those who missed out on me introducing the Topic Bag, I brought it up in the last episode because I wanted people, and I've posted this in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, where if you want all the updates on the podcast and things, Locked On Steelers Facebook group, ask to join it. It's free. It's 1,300 members strong. It's a great group. But on top of that, I posted there a while back, like saying, hey, you know, I was thinking of a new segment because I want to get your thoughts and questions on this show more often, dear listeners. So by doing this, this will give you a chance to email this email address, losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com. You send an email there with your name, what your question is, as long as it's relevant to football, it will have a chance to get on the show. So today's is the first question. We're going to test this out with Dean and see how this goes. So this segment is a question from Brian Boxler, who asks, if we, the Steelers, end up with a star running back in the draft, who do you perceive to be the other running back, the other running back on the depth chart from this year who gets to be number two? Is it Benny Snell or is it Anthony McFarland? Now, Dean, this is very interesting because to me, this completely ruled out Jalen Samuels. Not that that's a surprise, but it also ruled out Kalen Ballage, or how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
And it also, and I still think there's a chance the Steelers could sign someone else after the NFL draft, after they get their star running back.
Like James Conner, right? You never know. James Conner hasn't, for all intents and purposes of what we know, he hasn't gotten a sniff. Why is that? You know, that I love that. First of all, I love the idea of the topic bag. I love, and by all means, anyone wants to fire me and or Josh any questions, fire away. I love the idea. I love having you guys on the Locked On Facebook group involved. This is not an easy question because on the surface and on the eye test and what we have actually seen, Benny Snell's the number two in this scenario.
Absolutely.
But is that fair to Anthony McFarland? And that's a legitimate question because he was a rookie. And I think we were clouded a little bit by the success of some of the rookies, by a Chase Claypool and a Kevin Dotson. And remember, they came into an unusual circumstance. No rookie minicamp, no OTAs, and a training camp that was different, no preseason. And all of a sudden, go into that game and show me what you got, kids. Okay, not the easiest circumstance. So I ain't ready to give up on Anthony McFarland yet. But from what I have seen, neither one of them is the number one. I don't see it. But right now, Benny Snell's number two, but I would love to look forward to that competition in the they'll play four preseason games since they have the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
In those four preseason games.
I agree. I think it's going to be an interesting battle this year. But here's the thing that comes down to whichever star running back they get. And I wrote a whole piece about the top three backs that they're looking at and why these are the top three backs and how good they are and what they bring to the offense right away. For my Carter's Classroom piece, it first debuted on Tuesday. It's still on the DK Pittsburgh Sports website. Go check that out if you want all my film analysis on Najee Harris, on Travis Etienne, and on Javonte Williams, because those are the guys that the Steelers need to get the dynamic running back in this year's draft class. But so the backup to them is going to be asked to do is fill different roles. And one of those key roles is going to be pass protection. Now, I think it's going to be, and you used the word unfair, and I think it's correct that it's unfair, but such is life in the NFL.
Such is life.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. This is no one ever said anything was fair. It wasn't fair. The Steelers got their bye week wrong, but no one cared when they started,
Chase Claypool and Kevin Dotson did rise above. So you can rise above.
Right. Now, saying all that, Anthony McFarland, I think the biggest thing that he needs to show that he could do consistently is pass protection, because he's an undersized back. He's faster. That's his skill set. He wants to be able to make people miss in space. He wants to use his speed. Pass protection, he hasn't had much of a chance. He hasn't had a real training camp at St. Vincent College to go through those moments. He only had a partial training camp at Heinz Field some of the times dealing with COVID. So is it unfair? Yeah, but that's going to be a challenge. Jalen Samuels hasn't been the best at that either. Benny Snell got better at it, but he still hasn't been as proficient as what James Conner developed to by his third and fourth years. We'll see if Benny Snell makes that stand up. But Kalen Ballage, I'm going to mess that name up for eternity. But again, we're re-recording, so it's pretty late right now. But Kalen Ballage, he's going to have the chance. He is a 6'2" frame. He has longer arms. He's a little bit thicker. He can put his hands on blockers who come in the hole. If he can protect Ben Roethlisberger in the shotgun as the sidecar guy that picks up the extra blitzer, and he does better than Benny Snell, that might give him a lot more steps, and they might want to give him more time as the second running back. That's why I pick it's going to be Kalen Ballage. But I also don't rule out, like you said, James Conner, but I just don't rule out after the NFL draft ends, there are still plenty of running backs out there who you can just say, come here, work with me. Any one of those guys, they show just veteran leadership, veteran responsibility. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers might take that.
But I love what you said there, because Kalen, whatever your last name is, he's an X factor. And the beautiful part about it is he has added competition to the room, even if it's competition to be the number two. So Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland and Jalen Samuels all have to step up their game in whatever OTAs and preseason ends up being. They have to be sharp. They have to get better. They have to take that next step, because they're going to have someone coming in here who's done a little bit of NFL work breathing down their necks. And so that's just going to make the room better. And again, none of them I see as number one. They got to address number one. But you're right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you're right in that Kalen Ballage ends up the number two.
There you have it. So Brian Boxler, thanks so much for your question. We really appreciate it. If you want your question on the Locked On Steelers podcast, email it to LOSteelers for Locked On Steelers, LOSteelers topicbag@gmail.com. I'll be able to get it there. And if it's pertinent to an episode, you can also ask the question to me. You can ask it to a guest on the show. Either or is fine. We appreciate all the questions. Thanks again to Brian Boxler for being the first person who gets on the show with a question. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, Najee Harris, one of those top running backs we were talking about, had some interesting comments about the Steelers' draft process. I'll talk about that with Dean right after this break. BetOnline.ag, the only place that we trust here in the Locked On Podcast Network to place bets on. Even though football season's over, there's a ton of different ways to make money by gambling on sports right now. If you go to betonline.ag today and sign up for your free account, you'll get a 50% bonus to your first deposit simply by entering the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, all capital letters and all one word, and that will get you your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Right now, sure, the NFL's done, but you can put money down on where certain free agents might be going in the NFL. You can also bet on college basketball, the NBA, and the NHL. All different ways to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. BetOnline.ag. Remember, use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, locked on, all capital letters, all one words, to get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Dean Iampietro of Channel 11 WPXI. Now, Dean, we were talking about Najee Harris, and our Najee Harris. I'm going to keep doing that because I've called him Najee for like a year. But Najee Harris, which he confirmed on the Adam Schefter podcast this week, that, you know, that's how you pronounce his name. But Najee Harris, he talked about his draft experience a little bit, which was very interesting. Now he starts off talking about, because Adam Schefter's talking to him. If you did, I do suggest you go listen to the Adam Schefter podcast. One, it's a great addition every week. It's required listening if you're an NFL fan or follower or observer, because Adam Schefter just gets some great guests and great conversations all the time. But what he talks about with Najee about is, you know, first he starts asking him questions about his draft process, and Najee gets very, I grew to like him in this interview, Dean, because he is very candid and he just says what's on his mind. But he also, you feel kind of where he's coming from on certain statements. Like, you know, one thing he talked about, he's like, did you know, like, so he asked about the draft process. Najee's like, did you know that they could call us up to 5 times per team? And he's kind of like, man, like, you know, like these guys are calling me at 9 p.m. and I know this team doesn't want to draft me because they just signed 2 running backs. And so like he starts talking about that and stuff. But then eventually Najee gets to the point where Adam Schefter asks, like, hey, who made you say wow in the draft process? Like, well, like, was there a starstruck moment? And Najee's like, no one really starstruck me, but the coolest people I talked to was the Steelers. And he talked about how Mike Tomlin was the coolest dude. He said he loved the Zoom meeting. He also said in the Zoom meeting, he said something that caught him off guard was how when he talked to the Steelers, he didn't just talk to Mike Tomlin. He talked to Kevin Colbert. He said he even talked to defensive position coaches. And he felt like that was a different kind of environment. And he also said that he liked the Bills and the Dolphins talking to them. But the Steelers in particular really struck out to him. And Adam Schefter even said on the show, he's like, I wouldn't be surprised to see you as a Steelers, Najee. And Najee was like, I'm not going to say where I'm going to go. But it did seem like he was kind of interested in how the Steelers handled their draft process.
I like to hear that. I mean, of the running backs, he's the one that I'm most intrigued by.
Of course.
And I would love to see him there at 24. We were talking before the show. I don't know if that's going to happen, or maybe. Do you think I'd trade up for him?
I doubt they trade up for Najee.
To get ahead of Miami?
Maybe. Okay, so here's the thought on this. So I wrote about this for DKPittsburghSports.com in my Carter's Classroom column this week. If you haven't gotten a chance, go check it out. It's on the website. You know, the top three backs, obviously Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams. And there's a chance that I think there's a 50-50 chance that Najee Harris will be available at 24. And I think the one team that can really mess this up is the Miami Dolphins, who pick at 18. And it's because they also have a pick at number 6. And that could also come into play for quarterback play. And they may get more, you know, picks later, and they might move things around, but they will have multiple opportunities most likely to pick a running back in the first round. So 18 would be a pretty great spot to get Najee Harris, especially if they've already drafted another superstar player at a different position higher up in the draft. But if he falls to the Steelers, I think he becomes a must take. If he doesn't, I still think you look at Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams, because you need that running back position. But again, that's the whole process here, is that you still want to do your due diligence and talk to every single person you can in this draft process, even if you know you can't get a chance to talk to them. That's what the Steelers did with Minka Fitzpatrick years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, when they knew he was going top 10, top 12,
Right.
I think he went 11th overall, but they knew they would never get a shot. But they knew that, hey, let's get information on this guy, because who knows if there's some day when we have a chance to go get him and we want to know everything we can about this guy. And they made a good impression with him.
There you go.
He made a good impression with them. And now he's a back-to-back year all-pro free safety for the Steelers, who's a pillar of their team. So it just makes sense what they're doing here. But it's kind of refreshing and encouraging to hear that Najee Harris, a guy who everyone's trying to talk to right now, is most enamored with the Steelers.
I like hearing about this, because we don't get the insight into exactly how they go about evaluating these guys. And to hear that even the defensive coaches and all that take the time and talk to them, I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the Steelers have to be doing something right in an administration and coaching level to have the success that they do year in and year out.
Right.
Okay. So we know that, but now it's just a little bit of an insight into how the sausage is made. And that's kind of cool. I do like that. I still wonder about the unpredictability of a first round pick for the Steelers. I could see them taking a linebacker. I don't know who, but I could see them doing it.
They do best player available. They will not bank on a position just to pass up on a superstar at another level that they see being a pillar for their organization in the coming years.
But if they do that, I feel like that's a concern then, because what are you doing at running back? Okay. You know, we're talking about Snell and McFarland battling for number two when there's no number one.
Yeah.
That would be a concern. They've almost pigeonholed themselves into a running back. I mean, they've almost locked it in for what they should do. But will they? That's a big question. I'm excited though, because we have at Channel 11, we have our Inside the Draft on the night of the draft. And of course, last year there was no first round pick. All you guys made picks for the second round last year and no one got it.
Yeah.
And that's not an indictment on any of you guys. Second round pick, it's hard to get. It's hard to nail down because so many things can change. I'm going to be interested though to see where everybody picks what they're getting at 24 this year. And to see who ends up being right. That's going to be fun.
It is going
to
be fun.
Once it comes down to it. I like the way that's shaping up. I don't know if they'll get him. I just don't know if they'll get him.
I feel you on that. And again, I think he's also impressing people in the interviews, because I got to say, as a listener, I was entertained by Najee Harris and I liked him more. And I can only imagine if I'm liking him more, other NFL teams are liking him more. And he talked about how Adam Schefter asked him, like, hey, on the night the night before your pro day, you were in Dallas, Texas. You were supposed to get a flight to Birmingham, Alabama, and you weren't even supposed to perform at your pro day. You just wanted to be there, get measured, and then support your teammates. And they said that, you know, Najee Harris, he drove 9 hours from Dallas to Birmingham, overnight. He pulled over a couple times and slept on the road to take a quick nap and get back. And then he said he got to Birmingham like a half hour before 7 o'clock in the morning. And he wanted to really get there at 7 o'clock in the morning to do his 7 a.m. workouts, because he said that's the most important thing to him. And then he supported his teammates. That kind of stuff, that's character. That's going to speak out to people. And
absolutely,
that's something that you get from a lot of Alabama dudes who become leaders. Minkah Fitzpatrick, when they were interviewing him, you know, in his draft process, all the things I heard about his leadership, the stories Nick Saban told, I was like, you want that guy. And now the Steelers got that guy. And I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg with where he could go. You get another presence like Najee Harris in the room, I think that's another guy in the Steelers locker room who can help adopt the Steeler way and then help push that on to other players, which again makes your point. If they're seeing that, if we're talking about that, you know, other GMs are too.
So if you're right, and it's Miami at 18, who's 17?
So at 17, it's the Las Vegas Raiders, who they're not going to be selecting a running back. I also think at one point, because Najee Harris talked about a team that was talking to him a lot at running back, and then he was like, they picked a lot of running backs, so why would they even talk to me and waste my time? And the Raiders, they already have an Alabama running back in Josh Jacobs. They also signed Kenyon Drake and Theo Riddick this offseason, so they're out of
the mix. But I'm thinking trade. I mean, I'm thinking – you swap first rounds, and what else can you offer them?
Well, that'll be interesting to ask there, because at 17, you also have to wonder what other teams are trying to trade up for right there. Now, like when the Steelers traded up to get Devin Bush. They traded up and they were able to, and they had to cough up a second round pick and a third round pick. And I think something else as well. so they had to move up considerably in that draft pick to get there. Now this isn't that kind of a jump. 17 still different, but you know, with all the teams moving up to get quarterbacks, other positions are going to be in play, and that might make the market more, a lot more tough to do that. So Raiders, maybe you cough up to them like, hey, here's our first and here's a third round pick, which
and Jalen Samuels.
I'm kidding, Jalen Samuels. But maybe that's part of the plan there. But also the thing is anytime you're trading up, the middle rounds of this draft this year have a lot of talent that you could get guys who are really good replacements at tight end, linebacker, edge rusher.
Not a game-changing running back. That's
I agree. I'm glad you've come around on this because I you used to not be on my side on this, and now
you
know,
and that's just it. I mean, the fans need to understand. I'm a flexible guy. I listen to reason, Josh.
All the shots. But no, I trading up. I don't think it's going. I think there's like a 10% chance the Steelers trade up this year. I think that they.
I agree with you. But if I was GM, I would look to do it.
But here's the thing: I don't think Travis Etienne is a slouch neither. I think he'd be a heck of a playmaker.
Right. I mean, if you're talking about the character though added to it, and you know, guys, and his work ethic, and the things that he said in your interview, in the interview with Schefter, those are some added intangibles that you know. Maybe you're looking at a guy who might be the best Harris at running back in Steelers history.
Whoa. No blasphemy here, sir. No blasphemy here. Don't disrespect Franco like that. There ain't going to be no airport statue of no Najee Harris.
I'm sorry. Franco who?
Okay.
Oh, that's that callback. See, half the audience doesn't even know what that was.
You're out of order. Anyways, we got to call it wraps on the show, but thank you for our topic bag question, Brian Boxler. If you want to get on the topic bag as well, please send us an email to losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com and you can get your question right on the show. Join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group to talk with 1,300 other Locked On Steelers fans. You can also talk to myself, Dean, Josh, Adam Crowley, Wes Euler. A lot of people who are on the show are in that group as well. And don't forget to subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast. We are on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on the Odyssey app, which used to be known as radio.com. We're everywhere. So check us out. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a positive comment. Doing so gets you a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks so much, everyone. We're hoping to have Tony Serino back on for Thursday tomorrow. We'll see if that happens. But until then, stay cool, Steeler Nation.